Today on Real Radio.
You can start all over in Christ. And I don't know what kind of plague you have on your life. Is it guilt? Is it guilt from a botched up relationship? Is it guilt from something that you did in the past? Have you hurt somebody? Abortion? Feeling the guilt? Breaking the law? Punched somebody out? Killed somebody? Don't be running from the blessing of being able to be forgiven in Christ. You can run all you want, and you'll never find the peace and the forgiveness until you're in Christ.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're going through this letter written by Paul verse by verse. So far, we've learned quite a number of benefits to the believer, the follower of Messiah, not the least of which is having access to God. In fact, that's the title of this mini-series that focuses on Ephesians 2 and verses 11 through 13. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in Having Access to God.
But if we're not with Him, people, if you're in this room tonight and you're not with the Lord, listen, you are so alienated from God. You are so separated from Him. You have no idea how far you are away from Him until a moment happens in your life when you begin to think, now, yes, I'm going to cry out to Him. And what does the Scripture say? Romans says it's even in your mouth and it's in your heart that you cry out to Him and He'll save you. But here's Paul, you know, after painting the beautiful, beautiful picture of his workmanship, now he's saying, man, you're just absolutely worthless, you know. You're alienated from God. You didn't have nothing. I mean, look at me. He's kind of like a dad. You know, the guy, the kid's standing there. He's getting ready to go out somewhere. And look at you. Your hair's undone. You're tight. Look at that, your thing. And he's just all over you. And just when, you know, you think you're going to just start breaking down in tears, he comes to verse 13. And he says, but now. Isn't that good news? But now. I hope I can say this word right. I looked up the word but and what it is in the English language. It is a disassociative conjunction. Did you get that? Remember that from school? Disassociative conjunction. Listen, it means to connect the past. Well, that's important to us because we like the past of Ephesians 2. It means to connect the past to the present, which illuminates the future. It says, go look at what I've been saying and how you were in the contrast of your past life. Consider the present workings of God in your life, and hey, it's going to illuminate your future. Hey, I don't know about you, but that blesses me big time right now. I'm certainly not what I used to be. But I'm certainly not what I hope to be. But I don't have to hope to be that thing in the future because what He's done in the past guarantees my future. My job is to hang on to His robe. You tell somebody you love them, but you never come home. You never call them. You never have a life with them. God wants us to have a relationship with Him. It's a two-way street. It's an interaction. And our experience with the Lord about abiding with Him is, listen, we are to hang with Him. We are to read His love letter. We are to experience Him. And when we don't, we suffer. Just like any other relationship. No communication dries up. Sustained period of time, no communication, blows away. God's the same way with us. No communication gets dry. I feel so dry. When people come in, people call. I mean, I feel so dry. I feel so dry. Are you praying? No, I don't know. Are you reading your Bible? It's been like about a week or two or maybe three, four. Okay, that's it. I know we've been scheduled for like an hour, but we're all done now. It's true. You know, sometimes we'll get together and that's the case, and somebody will say, well, you know what, I'm feeling really dry. And you know what, we'll just open up the Bible and start reading it out loud. I'll take verse 1, you take verse 2, and I'll take verse 3, and you take verse 4. It's really cool. Try that next time. Watch what happens. Feeling a little dry? Start reading the Word. It's communication with God. It's a beautiful thing. He says now, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been made near by the blood of Christ. Have been made near by the blood of Christ. Listen, people, in Christ changes everything. I don't care what your story is. You understand the past that Paul is painting here? Yes, listen, hang on, don't evacuate the building. When I say that all of us have come from dysfunctional homes, can you handle that, or is it just you? I'm the only one from a dysfunctional home. Listen, that's part of the satanic trick on your life. I'm the only one. Listen, you're not the only one. We've all come from dysfunctional homes, some worse than others. The word dysfunctional means not perfect. We've all come from a non-perfect home. But some of us have experienced terrible things, some not so terrible. So what are you going to do? I can't grow as a Christian because I've come from a dysfunctional home. Oh, gosh. The blood of Christ kind of slack in that area. Jesus is all you need. If you have someone discipling you, this is where the church has failed. And God help us, we're praying and working on getting a discipleship ministry going here that I hope just goes bananas here. If the Church of Jesus Christ tonight would start discipling its converts, then you're going to see a tremendous healing in the lives of people. You know why? People plop down $300 an hour. You know what they're doing? They're renting an ear. I mean that sincerely. And if you knew what was going on in the life of your analyst, you would run out of that office screaming. Listen, I'm sure I'll get letters, but I'll be gone for weeks, so anyway. But Pastor Chuck at the pastor's conference gave some statistics about degrees and about ministry and about occupation. And the bulk of psychologists didn't know what their major was in school when they were going to college and university. So they took psychology courses to find out kind of where they're coming from. They graduated still not knowing their major, so they stayed in psychology and made that their occupation. And this is data that they've generated. And he was sharing that with us. Why am I saying that? Listen, you don't need me. You don't need pastors. You don't need that. And you say, Jack, how can you say that? Because you know what? Hang out with me for a little bit. Pastor Jack, I need to talk to you. Okay, what is it? You know what? I'm really upset because you know what? Somebody told me I can't sleep with my girlfriend. I can't believe that. Really? Well, who had the audacity to say something like that? You know what? I really know what my wife's problem is. I mean, I come home, pop a couple beers, you know, fall asleep, wake up the next day, go to work, come home, pop a couple beers, fall asleep, wake up the next day, go to work. And I know what her problem is. We just don't get along. Are you Christian? Yeah, praise the Lord. I don't understand this. We have been programmed. Do you understand that? We have been engineered by God to get the answer out of this book. There is not one thing in life that will happen to us that is not answered in this book. But you know what? It takes the opening of this book and the turning of its pages to find it. How often do we turn to the book? When something goes wrong, do we grab the phone or do we grab the book? Do we jump up and run next door or do we fall to our knees and cry out to Him? In Christ is what the Bible says, and I'm afraid that we so often don't know what that means. You have access, people, to the greatest power that the world could ever know. You want to talk about a life change? God is so good. We were back in Virginia a while back, remember that, for that men's conference thing, and speaking to some guys, and the Lord began to minister to one guy. And that guy was out here this weekend, or this week. And while they were coming out, he was sharing the Lord with other men with him. And they were on this presidential detail thing, and all of a sudden this Bible study breaks out in the back of this aircraft. And so he's all excited, and rightfully so. Well, one of the guys is into some tampering with some cult garbage and kind of making fun or just, you know, kind of whatever, and I don't know, and Well, this brother prays, Lord, if you want me to share with this guy, just open up a door of opportunity. And so Tuesday, a door of opportunity opens up at the air base there. And here's this guy tampering with all of this weird stuff. And the guy witnessing to him had a higher ranking than he did. So it's like, you know, what are you going to do? Yeah. And shares with him, and it clicks. And he says, you know what, I'm ready now to receive Christ. The guy goes from the brink of Satanism, garbage, cultic worship, trash, to Jesus Christ standing in a hangar, you know. And it was really cute because there was another brother there. And this young guy, brand new born-again Christian, just walks up and says, hey, I'm a born-again Christian. Tells him, I'm a born-again Christian. Oh, that's great, man. Great. So these Christians having fellowship. So that late afternoon, I got out there, and we were there together out there, and this guy comes up, and we shake hands. I'm a born-again Christian. He's so proud. I'm a born-again Christian. He's got a purpose. This is truth. This is right. Man, I'm born again Christian. The light came on. Makes sense. I'm going to read the Bible. Isn't that great? In Christ. It means you can have a life all over again. Brand new life. I'll never forget. Billy Graham was on TV. I'll never forget this. He was preaching and he was doing his Billy Graham incredible thing that he does through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he said that a girl earlier that week at that city, I think it was Toronto, Canada, he was there and he was preaching, and this young 16, 17-year-old girl came up and she says, you know what? I wish I could believe what you're saying. I wish I could begin my life all over again. And Billy Graham says, young lady, that's called being born again. And you can start your life all over again in Christ being born again. I don't know. And you're just like that old man running down the street, running from a burger. I don't know. Monday night, we went to Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, and we're sitting in the front row there, just run up there and grab the front seat and sitting there and just enjoying the great time. People are coming forward, accepting Christ. And you know, I'm just looking at these people. One guy standing right in front of me, he was an obvious construction worker, quite possibly an alcoholic by the look of his skin and all. But man, let me tell you, he was there and he was kind of shaken. I don't know if he was going to cry or he was nervous or what, but he came alone. He was standing right there, and off to my right side was a, I'm going to say a young man and a woman. I say young, but I hesitate because the world had so thrashed them, you could tell. They were well-weathered young people. You could tell they've lived 100 years in their short 25 or whatever. And she was standing there, and Greg's leading them through the prayer, and I'm just kind of looking over, watching, and she's saying it, man. And I couldn't see his face from where I was sitting, and she's saying it. And you could hear her. Lord Jesus, forgive me. She meant it. And when it was all done, her husband or boyfriend or whoever, I don't know, doesn't matter. He said, it's going to be all right now. Now, I don't know why he said that, and I don't know the motive of his heart. But assuming that it was true, you can start all over in Christ. And I don't know what kind of plague you have on your life. Is it guilt? Is it guilt from a botched up relationship? Is it guilt from something that you did in the past? Have you hurt somebody? Abortion? Feeling the guilt? Breaking the law? Punched somebody out, killed somebody. Don't be running from the blessing of being able to be forgiven in Christ. You can run all you want, and you'll never find the peace and the forgiveness until you're in Christ. You got to get in Him. And don't be such a fool as to stay away because you've sinned. And don't think your life is so messed up that it really can't be fixed. You know what? Listen, I'm telling you now, don't take my word for it. Read the scriptures. But I'm telling you, Jesus can fix your life. And the more broken it is, the more beautiful the work He does in you. The part that breaks our hearts is that when people refuse to have hope. He says in verse 13, but now we're in Christ Jesus, who were once far off and have been made near by the blood of Christ. Now you've been brought right in. This word near is to walk alongside. No longer North Pole, South Pole. No longer, hey, can I come in? Do I have access? No, listen, you don't only have access. The scripture says a broad and wide entrance has been opened up to us, that we have access to the throne of grace. Grace is only good, people, when we are absolutely unable to help or save ourselves. That's the kind of God we serve. You can receive that, or you can say, I want to just refuse hope, hang on to my misery, because I get a lot of attention that way. Or we can just give it to Him and enjoy that. It says, by His blood. Quickly jot this down if you would. Romans 5, verse 2, and we'll be done here a couple of verses. Romans 5, 2 says, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's Romans 5, 2. And Hebrews 10, 22 says, let us draw near. He's begging us. With a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, that is the thinking of all the wrong that we've done, and our bodies washed with pure water, that is the word, having access. I want to end with this. If you turn to Luke chapter 15, you know the story very well. It's the prodigal son. But I want you to look at this message that he gives us in Luke 15, beginning at verse 11, in light of having access. Verse 11. It says, then he said, Jesus did, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me my portion of goods that falls to me, that's his inheritance. So he divided it to them, his livelihood. So obviously each son got their goods. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed into a far country and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land and he began to be in want or in need. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and he said to him, or he sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods. That's the junk the pigs eat. And no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still, listen, a far way off, a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran toward him and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, he didn't even answer his son. He just turned around and said to his servants, hey, bring out the best robe I've got and put it on him, and bring out my ring and put it on my sandals, put them on his feet. And bring the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. And now he's alive. He was lost and now he's found. And they began to be merry. They had a party. The son was coming back. You notice the word repentance or repent is not in the story. It doesn't have to be because it's a story of repentance. It doesn't have to say repent. The whole story is about repentance. He says, I'm going to come back. I'm going to turn and go home. And while the young boy was far off, the father sees him and goes running to him with a bag in his hand. Hey. The father goes to him. We who were once far off, we've now come near by the blood of Christ. The Father sent His Son, put Him on the cross, and He said, hey. And the world tonight says, no, stay away from me. Or the world says, I need Him. And where are you? Are you in Christ? I'm not interested if you believe in Him. Are you in Him? That means you trust in Him and you're relying upon Him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Ephesians 2 and verses 11 through 13. In fact, this is a mini-series called Having Access to God, which means we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, if you've ever had the desire to learn more about history's most influential individual, please take advantage of our current offer. It's valuable in more ways than one. We're talking about Pastor Jack's audio CD set, The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. It's a valuable tool in helping us to better understand the culture of the period, the political climate, the way in which those awaiting Messiah's arrival thought, and so forth. Pastor Jack's The Life and Times of Jesus Christ on audio CD is yours when you make a contribution to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount. So when you get in touch with us by calling, clicking, or writing, just ask for it by title, The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. If you missed any of this contact information, just pay us a visit at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.